Welcome back. 1221 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the program Andrew Napolitano, former judge of the Superior Court of New Jersey, senior legal analyst for the Fox News Channel, author of 7 books on the Constitution. Count them. And a Washington Times columnist. Judge, how are you?
Good, Andy. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
I appreciate you joining me today. At Easter, hope for the dead and freedom for the living. That is a very powerful piece, folks, in today's Washington Times. It opens your eyes to what Easter week is all about and how it relates to what we're seeing right here in America today. Judge, you start with, what is the connection between freedom and rising from the dead? I'll let you
know. Well, that was intended to get people to want to read everything that follows because it's a bit of a provocative opening line. But my goal is to weave the theme of Jesus's freedom to reject the horrific end of his life on earth and our freedom to reject a government that prevents us from seeking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I weave common themes in there about the things the government does to destroy freedom and the things that Jesus did to exercise his freedom. I was on a trip to Ireland with a friend of mine, a friend that is no longer with us, and we were attending Mass, and I was listening to an Irish priest on Easter in a heavy Irish brogue say, "You know what Easter means? Easter means there's hope for the dead." And I've never forgotten that very, very powerful, simple message. If you believe, as Catholics and most Christians do, that Jesus did rise from the dead, if you believe that we can rise from the dead, that is the linchpin of our existence, and it gives all of life, no matter its tragedies and setbacks and pains and costs, profound meaning. And the flip side of it is, without Easter, we're just ashes. We're just a fleeting moment in time, no matter what triumphs we may experience here. I'm one of those Catholics that doesn't like to wear his Catholicism on his sleeve, but when it is time to discuss these things, I think they should be discussed openly and in a traditionalist way, and that's what I attempted to do in my Washington Times piece this morning.
Mm-hmm. You see a greater divide among people in this nation than in the past?
I do. You know, I've said this before. It scandalizes some of my friends, but I'll say it again. I welcomed the presidency of Barack Obama when he defeated John McCain because I thought he would be a great defender of civil liberties.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he would stop the empire building abroad, and I thought he would heal the divides at home. Every one of these things is now infinitely worse. In fact, race relations in America, to me, seem to be almost as bad as they were in the Jim Crow years. It's like they've taken a quantum leap backwards under this president. I don't believe that's his intention, but I think it's the byproduct of perpetual lying, perpetual big government, perpetual trashing of the Constitution, and a sort of aloofness, a living in a world more aloof than FDR or Truman or either of the Bushes or Ronald Reagan could ever have imagined.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as if people are willing to give up their freedom, just hand it right over to the ever-expanding government and think nothing about it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, right now there are probably 85 to 90 million Americans employed and self-sufficient as a result of their employment. There are over 100 million Americans who receive half or more of their subsistence from the government. Now, that includes people that work for the government, but the overwhelming majority of that group are people who receive benefits from the government. They're dependent on the government. They have an incentive to continue to vote for big government. Jefferson and Hamilton hated each other, but one of the few things they agreed on publicly was that when the public treasury becomes a public trough and the public recognizes that, they will only send to Washington people who promise to bring home the biggest piece of the pie. So if there's more people receiving money than producing, we have an Atlas shrugged in our hands. We have a what will happen when people stop working? Where will the government get its cash from?
Yeah, freedom. You mentioned that the government actually steals it once in a while, and I think the NSA overreach would be a prime example, right?
Well, the NSA overreach is an example of the secret theft of freedom. The open and notorious theft of freedom is a government that forces you to to buy a health insurance policy that goes against your religious beliefs by paying for contraception, euthanasia, and abortion, and forcing you, if you employ more than 50 people full-time, to do the same. A more subtle form of the government's destruction of freedom is its printing cash in order to pay its bills, which devalues your house, your assets, and the cash you already have. An inexplicable assault on freedom is presidential lying. You can keep your health insurance. You can keep your doctor.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening to your phone calls. Nobody's reading your emails.
Yeah.
Bald-faced lies that he continues to repeat. Every time he says it, the Democrats vote for him. So there's an effect to what he says. There are people who want to believe this, even though there is overwhelming evidence to the contrary.
Uh-huh. How does all of this relate to what we've been watching develop over the past couple of weeks in Nevada?
It shows government's inability to control its use of force. Look, the government has a valid judgment against this rancher, Cliven Bundy, for grazing his cattle on government property. He claims, and there's a lot of evidence to support his claim, I don't question his sincerity at all. In fact, mm-hmm. I think he's a patriot. He claims that he thought the property was in his family, or the property was owned by the state of Utah. A federal judge ruled on this and ruled against him. Now, the case should not have been in federal court. Think about it. Should the federal courts be deciding the extent of federal power when it comes to real estate for 230 years? The answer to that question was no. The state courts make this decision. Somehow this case ended up in federal court. Mr. Bundy and his relatives lost. They appealed, and they lost the appeal. So now the government has a valid judgment, and it says two things. You owe us cash, you owe us the fair market value of the grazing rights, and you got to get off our property. They decided to enforce this judgment by a show of force with 200 federal agents dressed in military garb and wearing M-16s and pointing those loaded M-16s at Mr. Bundy and his relatives, at people who were there to protest what the government was doing, at Fox News reporters and cameramen. Their use of force was draconian, over the top, and it changed the dynamic. It changed this from the government enforcing a court order in order to serve a legitimate governmental end to government becoming so draconian that even though the rancher was lost in court, he had public support behind him, and the government backed down, all because the government decided to use this enormous show of force.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the government decided to suppress free speech. When the government says, you want to protest what I'm doing, you got to go into the desert 3 miles from here and make your protest there, that is an assault on the First Amendment. Because the First Amendment presumes not only that you can say whatever you want, but that you can say it so that the government will hear it. And when the government banishes you to 3 miles away, the government is effectively destroying your freedom of speech, and the people in Nevada would not put up with that. And they just ripped down the tape, which was the line of demarcation for the free speech zone, and said, guess what? The whole country is a free speech zone.
Mm.
I don't know how this ends, Andy.
Yeah, I know.
But I do know at the present time the dynamic is in favor of the ranchers and against the federal government.
Mm-hmm. We're out of time, Judge. I appreciate it, as always. Folks, if you haven't read this, you'll want to check this out in today's Washington Times and at WashingtonTimes.com. At Easter, Hope for the Dead and Freedom for the Living. It's by Judge Andrew Napolitano. Good to talk to you again.
All the best, my friend. Happy Easter to you.
You too. 1229, 1260 WRC.